Your Bibles to two. I want you to open it to one scripture and mark another scripture. I want to talk to you this morning about the God of the breakthrough. Because John Kilpatrick told us you are in the breakthrough. And Mark Sharona said, if you will pray, you can have this moving forth, quickly breaking into what God is going to do next. You can have that happen in your midst. And I believe the Lord wants to expand and open that to us and give us revelation about how we will go about that. Some people think the gospel is about I just sit here and let God do it to me, but it isn't. The gospel is about what God has done for you so that you can now do what He wants and what His will is. It's about our having the faith. The first scripture is 2 Samuel 5. 2 Samuel 5. And then the last scripture is Micah. On Jeopardy, they ask the hardest questions. The other night, they asked about there's a little tag on the front of it, but so-and-so-and-so about the first four books of the Bible. I thought, nobody on earth could possibly answer this difficult question. The first four books of the New Testament was. First four books of the New Testament. I said, I don't know. I guess Revelation, Ephesians. I don't know what the other ones would be. The other scripture is Micah 2. Micah 2. And you might have a little bit more difficulty finding that, but I have tabs on my Bible, so there we go. All right, so I just wanted you to find those because these are two very important revelational scriptures about the God of the breakthrough. You know, it's not going to be any breakthrough without God. I don't care who you are. And even if you have something that looks like breakthrough, you'll find that there's a catch to it. But the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. I'm talking about God's breakthrough. That doesn't just take you on some exciting experience. It is exciting, but it takes you through a door and into a different place where you're not now being concerned about your history, but you're now moving forth to your destiny. That's what breakthrough does for you. So in 2 Samuel, verse 17, now this is, in the Valley of Rephidim, the Philistines kept wanting to come up against David. So David asked the Lord, what should he do? So verse 17 says, now when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David, and David heard of it, went to the stronghold. The Philistines also went and deployed themselves into the valley of Rephidim. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said to David, go up, for I will doubtless. Everybody say doubtless. I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand. So David went to Baal-perazim. And David defeated them there. This is verse 20. And he said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water. Therefore, he called the name of that place Baal-perazim. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's breakthroughs that we struggle for. And sometimes we seem to take a step forward, maybe two steps backwards. And then there's the breakthroughs that God gives, where we don't even fight in the battle. And the Lord simply breaks through on our enemies, as David said, like water. When you need a breakthrough is when the thing is much bigger than you have any idea what to do with. And also when you need a breakthrough is when the things you've done in the past you're doing now and they're not working. You need a breakthrough when you come against the one that you can't conquer, the blockade that the enemy has put against you to try to contain you. And only a move and a work of God is going to change that. But that's not a problem. What do we mean, only God? We simply need to understand that God is the God of the breakthrough, and He indeed wants to break through for us. David's anointing and authority, as they increased, he became a greater threat to the realm of darkness, don't we? As our anointing has increased in this church and as individuals, you have become a greater threat to the enemy. Now, wondering why the devil was battling me so bad, and my African friends just laughed and said, "Do you think the devil's going to let you put all these books out on prayer and worship and all these things without seeing you as a great threat?" And the more you move in that anointing, the greater threat you are to the kingdom of darkness. He's going to try to come up with different ways to contain you and to keep you from going forward in that kingdom advance that God has for you. That's what it's about. It's not, bad things always happen to me. It's not, "Oh, I'm so confused, I don't know what to do." You're fighting one who wants to defeat you. Though David had defeated them many times, they continued to rise up against him. They even rose up again after this. They just couldn't seem to accept that fact. I believe that there comes a time when our warfare goes to a different level. After we have been tested and have won victories over the enemy, and Satan will still persist. I mean, the Philistines should have been smart enough to see, hey, God even comes through for David. But that didn't keep him from coming again. I promise you, the fact that you've won big battles doesn't mean the devil won't come at you again. And when that happens, when we've come to new levels, we're introduced to new devils. And God, who always does something bigger than the devil could ever think of, introduces us to more of His great armory. I mean, we have a "you ain't seen nothing yet" God. There are so many things He wants to show us. And one reason we haven't seen some things is we didn't need to see them yet. You know, a baby that can't crawl, that can't even crawl, you don't put him in a playpen. He ain't going nowhere. If we're not bothering any devils, there's no need for the devil to put up a fence around them. I'll let him wander around there, splash around, have a little fun here. New levels, new devils. New devils, new battle plan. You know, in the Gulf War, you and I have lived long enough to see what I never thought we'd see. And I heard them talking about Star Wars and all of this kind of business. I didn't even know if I believed some of it. And suddenly we had the Gulf War. I'll never forget, I got up at 5 o'clock that morning and wanted to watch on TV this attack. And when I saw that smart bomb, no airplane, nobody around, nothing else except this smart bomb that had its instructions from somewhere else, just simply went, I'm telling you, down the street to find the chimney that it wanted to go down into. I saw it with my very own eyes. That's new weapons. That was new weapons. We found out we had weapons in that war that our enemy hadn't even thought of. I took great heart and hope in that. That's the way it is with God. He's got all this armory full of weapons, many of which we haven't touched because we haven't even needed them. I just want to talk to you a minute about supernatural weapons. You know, when the enemy again tried to attack David in the same place the Lord told David to wait until he would hear the sound of the going in the mulberry trees. You know, when the enemy attacked again, David said, well, now what do you want me to do? Armory, weapon, number two. First one was the Lord just simply broke out. I don't know exactly what he did, but he just ran like a river through those troops. Now David says, now what? Okay, let's go to the armory, and now we're going to find noise for the mulberry trees. But some render it shuffling of feet, some Bibles. So we could think maybe angels' feet or the Lord of hosts rattling around in that mulberry tree, letting David know, I got you covered. Go for it, David. I got you covered. It was really the sound of God's going of his hosts, a team of fighters that David had never known about before. You think you got a battle and the devil tell you it's so great nobody can win it, but God's got an army with weapons in it that you never even heard about before. And for example, when Salmon killed Samson, I must be a little hungry. Yeah, I know. Please just do that with garlic, lemon, butter. We'll be good. When Samson killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass, that's a donkey, modern language, he entered into the realm. I thought about this. I looked for a picture of a donkey's jawbone on the internet, and I saw what one looks like, and you know, it's about this big. It has got teeth in it, but they don't work anymore. It was a new jawbone. I don't know how much that helped. It meant the donkey hadn't been dead too long. Oh, that's good. And I saw what he had to work. By the way, when I looked up that jawbone, I did find that somebody had ordered one, and you can play them like a musical instrument. I think some of us would much rather try that than what Samson tried. Wouldn't you? We'd get one of those jawbones. We'd get Bill to play it because he's a drummer. He knows how to do that. I saw Samson enter the realm of the anti-weapon. And that ain't no weapon. That's not about the weapon. That's about what's resting on the person wielding the weapon. It's the anti-weapon. And then there's Gideon. Gideon, he had a strange weapon, but it was supernatural. And the Lord told him that his army should put a lamp and a pitcher, and then break the pitcher, and everybody should shout really loud. Okay. I'm not sure it's going to work, Reuben. But try to shout as loud as you can. I don't get it. The sword of the Lord and Gideon is what they had to shout. The sudden light from the pitchers, 300 pitchers, coupled with the sudden shouting of the warriors, caused the enemy to flee in panic. But that's pretty unusual, because it's a supernatural weapon. And you know, David had not always sought. You see, David said, what shall I do about these Philistines in Rephaim? What shall I do? He inquired of the Lord. And he inquired again when he had the problem. But David hadn't always inquired of the Lord. Like when he went to get the ark. Somewhere along the way, we learn to ask God, what did you have in mind? Because when he went to get the ark and people started getting killed and there was all kinds of confusion, and someone wished we'd never seen that ark, send it back. Then what God means for good turns into a real problem. The ark became a hot potato. Nobody knew what to do with it. They moved it from one place to the next. But when we come to the time where we're not able and we need the breakthrough, see, Satan has a plan to stop the advance of the kingdom of God. He especially wants to contain people that keep on trying to get out. We've got to really pray for Marcus, because not only is he trying to get out, he's out. And he's going to be out. He's going to be going all kinds of places. And he's going to be infiltrating a lot of darkness. Thank God this is what God's called us to do. And the enemy will build up walls to try to hold you back. It's then that you need a breakthrough. Listen, when you feel like you can't do anything, you can't go anywhere, nothing's working for you, You don't need to give up. You just need a breakthrough. That's when you really need a breakthrough. And, you know, a breakthrough is a sudden intervention of God. Sudden. Everybody say sudden. Sudden intervention of God that takes us not only through but beyond whatever is preventing us from crossing over into new territory for the kingdom. Now, some people sit in the same old place year after year, year after year. Some churches do the same old thing year after year. And if anybody tries to do anything different, they all get mad about it. And that's good to keep them where they are. And they're all happy. Their last argument worked. They got to stay where they were. You get it? We ain't staying where we are. We're going to always be advancing. So we need God's breakthroughs because that's what takes us into the new territory that God wants us to go into. Now, turn over there to Micah. Did you find it? Micah 2:13. Pray maybe God will give you a revelation of where it is. Micah 13 is a wonderful verse. It says, the breakers come up before them. They have broken up and have passed through the gate and are gone out by it, and their king shall pass before them, and the Lord on ahead of them. Now, the gate in the Old Testament times was the place where the authorities and the rulers of the cities sat. It was where judgments were rendered in legal matters. So this verse speaks of a new authority that will supersede any existing rulership or judgment. See, the breaker is going to come and go ahead of us and make a way for us to pass through the gate. That is, go through the place of the last judgment and come into a new judgment or a new decree from God so that we cannot be hindered from going into the new territory that He wants us to go into. But He will precede us in this. He's not expecting you to tear these walls down. He's going to tear them down for you. He's going to precede you going through the gate. And when we go behind the breaker, we are hidden in Him from all the accusations and judgments that could come against us, as Jesus, our King, has gone before and established our authority. And He gave all the authority to us in His name. As long as you hold His name high, the power of His blood, then He's always going before and doing that work. He is the breaker. And He's given that breaker anointing to you. He turned all the authority over to the church. And because of His breakthrough, we have that anointing to pass through the gates that have previously locked us out of the plan for our lives. Now, I want to encourage us today, church. We're going on. We're not going to be locked out. We're not going to be held back. We're not going to stop and settle in someplace. We're going to move on to this fresh thing that God is doing. Micah's prophecy was spoken at a time when it seemed God had forsaken them. And then the breaker comes up before them to clear away all the opposition. Now, I'm thinking about this. Remember that historically, when it was time for a breakthrough, God brought out His armory. The jawbone of a donkey, angels in the mulberry trees, pitchers with lamps inside to be broken. Quite a store of weapons. But let me show you His great weapon that He places in the front of the battle. Now, God has given us, it's a three-point weaponry. It's not new, but it's new for people to believe it. It's not different, but it's different if people lay hold on it. Because faith hasn't been mixed with the Word, people have read it and thought it makes good reading, or it happened for somebody one time. In other words, the enemy finds a way to lull us to sleep while we read the Word. And tells us, isn't that beautiful? Or he says, wasn't that great in their culture? They could do that at that time. Just get off this culture kick. We've got a new culture. It's a culture of the kingdom of God. We're ambassadors of the King. And we are here to bring heaven to earth. This is what he's called us to do. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, you don't have to turn there, but let me just tell you this, that in 2 Corinthians, I just look to see these people are keeping up with me back there, aren't they? I like this. Are they doing a good job? Wonderful. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 21, 22. This is a beautiful scripture. When he had consulted with the people, now here's another big battle. He's consulting with the people, and he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. And the scripture goes on to say, they all turned and started fighting among themselves. This is called confusion. I remember the first time I heard Duncan Williams pray, we pray confusion on all the works of the enemy, and we overthrow his wisdom tables and all his mighty counsels. See, the people in Africa, one thing, they got some verbiage for prayer. And they don't pray, Lord, bless everybody today. Thou art our God, we love thee. But when you get into the Word and you find out how God taught us to stand in these battles. Now look what a beautiful thing has happened here. There's a big battle. There's a big battle coming up. And so the prayer has been made, what should we do? And so now David consults and he appoints singers unto the Lord to set them at the front of the battle. Now, in our natural, we read that from the natural sense. And now I promise you, you've heard this presented so many times, or if you've heard it presented, humorously. Oh, wasn't that funny? Our worship team, how would you like to go out there and face those arrows? Yeah. Hey, this was not a joke. It was life and death. They were going to die. The Lord said, set the singers out first. They said, singers make weird weapons, we think, but we're going to send them anyway. Who ever heard of having singers to be weapons? Appointed singers unto the Lord. Now, I don't think some modern day worship teams. I think they'd get skeevized here. I think they'd come out with arrows sticking all over the place. Because their singing is not to the Lord. Their singing is unto the entertainment sector. Their singing is unto their own style. Oh, don't do that, Sue. I was going to do a little imitation. Stop that. And that should praise the beauty of holiness. Think about it. I mean, these are singers that are awed and reverence the presence, the holiness of God. These are not singers that sing the way we want them to sing or sing the newest thing so we can be impressed. This is lovers of God. And they're singing unto the Lord, oh God, you're the deliverer. Oh God, you're mighty. Oh God, I praise you. Who's a God like to our God in the beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army, and they said, praise the Lord for his mercy endured forever. If anybody needed mercy, they did. Praise the Lord for his mercy endured forever. I want to say this to you, that singing and high praise to God is a very important weapon out of God's armory. So when you come to a praise and worship service, if you really enter in, and if we enter into high praise, like we had some high praise today, you can either enter into that, or you can wait till that's over, because I don't quite understand what they're doing when they're doing that. Or I don't think I fit in with that. Give it a try. It's so loud, nobody can hear you, it won't matter. Right? Or another thing people do during times of high praise is they look around and they think somebody looks pretty good when they're doing that. And they know somebody else sounds good when they're doing that. How about the power of it? How about joining in the victory of it? How about getting hold of what God raised it up for in the power of the Holy Spirit was to bring down the strongholds of the enemy so that you could pass through the gates and your breakthrough could come. When you begin to understand that this is what singing in high praise is about, if you can put singers unto the Lord right at the front of the battle, then the weapons don't get any better than that. Now, singers praising his holiness, one. Number two, high praises of God. Well, I believe we've been taught that before. Well, that's nothing. I'm teaching it today for you to believe. I'm teaching it today for you to step into it. I'm teaching it today as a weapon out of the armory of God that you've got to have for a breakthrough. But if you don't want a breakthrough, you could just not learn. But if you want to understand about the high praises of God, Psalm 149, 6 and 7 says, "Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people." This scripture goes on to say, this honor have all his saints, not just the worship team. The worship team leads us, but this honor have all the saints. When we sing the high praises of God, let me give you a wonderful example. Paul and Silas, remember them? In Acts chapter 16, I never will forget Regdazel, the apostle. Apostle of 1948 revival came to us so many years ago, and he sat here on the platform and he pretended that he was Paul or Silas sitting with his hands and feet in the stocks. You guys remember that? You hear? I couldn't believe a man, he must have been 75. I mean then. Well, anyway, old. Let's make him 85. Compromise. Okay, so here's this 85-year-old man. And he's sitting here, sitting on a chair, but he's got his legs straight out in the stocks. And he's got his hands straight out in the stocks. And he sits there for a full 10 minutes and tells the story and has himself talking to Paul or Silas about how we ended up here, but God is great, giving testimony of what God did in the last time, so and so and so. And then they began to sing and they began to praise the name of their God. And your Bible says in Acts 16, suddenly, everybody say suddenly. You know, I just don't seem to have these suddenlies. Well, do you have these times of really praising God with all your might when things are going bad and you're all bound up in the stocks and don't know if you can ever get out? That's how you get a suddenly, is sing with all your heart during that time. I tell you, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me that he's going to give a new word and a new revelation on shout. I don't have it together yet, but I don't believe we've understood what shout means. And what it does, and what it's for, and who did it, and who invented it, and why. Hey, this is another weapon in his armory. Let's take him in here and shout. Woo-hoo! Woo! Yay, God! And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Now, those men can't sing that loud. You know, even Judy could never break that crystal glass, I don't think. Could you do that, Judy, when you had that voice that went forevermore like that? I mean, people don't break foundations with their voices. Especially when they're tied up in the stocks. God rode on top of the praise. The Lord inhabits the praises of His people. Now, it's just me praising. Why, it's just God riding. It's you praising, but it's God inhabiting. You know, surely you don't expect God to come down and praise through you, make you praise or something like that. No, it's you're the one that's praising. So the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open. And everyone's bands were loosed. Now this is what we need, and everybody's bands being loosed party. All, everybody's doors open at one time. How great could that be? And the third thing is this. Our first thing was singing in the beauty of holiness unto God. Singing in the beauty of holiness unto God. Second is high praises of God in their mouths. Third thing is praying in unity. On the day of Pentecost, they were all praying in one accord. And the heavens opened to bring the greatest breakthrough of all times when the Holy Ghost came out of heaven and made His home on earth in the church and gave us the baptism of His Holy Spirit. You know, Psalm 133, verse 1 says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For there the Lord will command the blessing, even life forevermore." Where there is unity, God commands the blessing and breaks through. John Kilpatrick said that the Lord showed him that revival would not come until the saints repented and came into unity so that there was a squeaky cleanness in the heavens above them. Then he could feel at home in their midst. See, the Lord doesn't. He doesn't pour out His anointing on a mixture. He's waiting for His people to get hungry enough and pour themselves out enough and repent enough, get cleansed enough. They say, "We don't want anything but God. We don't want anything but God." Okay, now here's what I want to say and I'm finished. I started out telling you about these unusual weapons out of God's armory. Donkey's jawbone and a pitcher with a lamp in it followed by a shout and the breaking of the lamp. These unusual things that have no power in themselves, like the shout of those that walked around Jericho 7 times. There was power in that shout because God said so. Now, church, God has now said, He has spoken to His people that corporately the church is now getting ready to advance and the kingdom is getting ready to advance. But the church is not going to advance until it lays holds on the weapons and uses those weapons for breakthrough. And I'll tell you what's going to happen. When breakthrough comes, it's going to be suddenly, it might be like suddenly for one person, suddenly for another person. Or there could be a day like we've had here before where it'll come suddenly on the whole congregation. But the breakthrough comes suddenly. First you were here, now then first you were in history, now you're in destiny. Simply because that suddenly happened. As I want to say to you today, begin to believe in singing unto God in the beauty of holiness. Begin to believe in the high praises of God in your mouth. And begin to truly believe God that praying together in unity makes you poised for the breakthrough. Some people, if they got a breakthrough, they'd be so unready for it, they'd lie down and go to sleep. So we have to be poised for the breakthrough. The Lord is going to bring the breakthrough to His people that are going somewhere. I want us to stand together. And I just want us to simply release our faith today. We're going to take one of these weapons today, that high praise weapon. And we're just going to believe God and release our faith together.